I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe and his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Hey there, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. We're going to have a lot of fun as always and see what all the great things that our wonderful president is doing. He just came out with this. I wanted to share this with you. So we're going to talk about how what is really going on in the Middle East and with this Iran situation, and see how he is clearly winning, and he's got them on the run. So I hope you'll really have fun with this one. And I see you over in the chat. I'm glad to see you guys. So welcome. I'm Melissa Redpill. We look at the current events in the light of God's word. This is literally biblical. This choke point is not in the Middle East, really. It's actually in the city of London, and how he is breaking that. And so it's really very exciting. We're living to see the day that we've been waiting for. Really, this is biblical. This is huge. So let's just see what President Trump said. And also going to introduce you to the new leader, really, of Iran, was what I believe is he's announcing. And this move right here that he announced, I think this was already determined in the background, behind the scenes in this big movie. So he said that there was a major oil and gas gift. So that is telling the world that who is in control, who is the one who's in control of Iran. And so listen to what President Trump had to say. Check this out.
They're going to make a deal. They did something yesterday that was amazing, actually. They gave us a present, and the president arrived today. And it was a very big present worth a tremendous amount of money. And I'm not going to tell you what that present is, but it was a very significant prize. And they gave it to us, and they said they were going to give it. So that meant one thing to me: we're dealing with the right people. No, it wasn't nuclear related. It was oil and gas related. And it was a very nice thing they did. But what it showed me is that we're dealing with the right people. Because, you don't know, because the leadership was killed, all gone. Khomeini, all gone. As the expression goes, the past supreme leader. And then the new supreme leader was racked up, at a minimum, racked up pretty good. And everyone else was gone. And then many of the people in the third tier, because they're going to make a deal. They're going to make a deal. They did something yesterday that was amazing, actually. They gave us a present, and the president arrived today. And it was a very big present worth a tremendous amount of.
So yeah, I would think it's a tanker full of oil. That's what it seems like to me. What do you guys think? So what the message is that this whoever sent this is the one who's in control of the oil trade in Iran now. And so I'm going to show you in just a little bit who that might very likely be. He doesn't want to give the names, but he has been talking about this one person. And I'm going to show you a clip of him talking about, what he wants, what his vision is for the future of Iran. So that's really great to have someone in this position of power who actually is a good guy. And so basically, the former Shah's son can just say, "Oh, sayonara, we don't need your help." That's what President Trump is saying. And he's saying that he knows that, and I'll get to this in a second, but that BB is trying to control the new leader, and that's not going to happen. We're not going to be doing this every, 20 years. We're not going to leave we could do all this and then leave poor Iran in the terrible plight that they've been in for the past 47 or 118 years. All right, so I wanted you to see that. So that's pretty exciting. It's exciting. Very, very big day. All right, so this is what President Trump was saying he expects in their talks. Okay, so last night was the deadline of the 48 hours. And so they have made an agreement. And he said, we'll extend this 5 days and we won't have any attacks on Iran while we're in these negotiations. Now, they've been talking a lot of the time with Kushner and with the special envoy Witkoff, but now they're serious. They realize, okay, all the ones who they were negotiating with before are dead. And so now you've got some people who are reasonable and who, you know, hopefully will put the people of Iran first. So we got to get in there and make sure we get the right people. And that's exactly what President Trump just said. All right, so he said no nuclear bomb, no nuclear weapon, not even close to it, low key on the missiles. We want to see peace in the Middle East. We want the nuclear dust. And I think we're going to get that. We've agreed to that. Yeah, we want to enrich the enrichment of the uranium. So check this one out.
Looking for in these talks, Mr. President?
We're looking for all of the things that we've been talking about. We want to see no nuclear bomb, no nuclear weapon, not even close to it. Low key on the missiles. We want to see peace in the Middle East. We want the nuclear dust. We're going to want that. And I think we're going to get that. We've agreed to that. Yeah, we've agreed to that.
Uranium before you can end this.
And we want no enrichment, but we also want the enriched uranium. If this happens, it's a great start for Iran to build itself back, and it's everything that we want. And it's also great for Israel, and it's great for the other Middle Eastern countries, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, all of them, Kuwait and Bahrain in particular. So it's great for all of them.
What exactly are you looking for in these talks?
All right, so that is so great to see, you know, our negotiator-in-chief. We have the best president ever, and he knows how to make a deal. And so Pahlavi, the former Shah's son, was coming up saying, oh, don't do this. We don't destroy the electrical grid and all of that. Well, we don't need your help. Shah, where you been? You haven't done anything for the past 47 years. So you know what? Sit this one out. We don't need your help, and we certainly don't need Bibi's help. All right, so this is because... I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but the bottom line, we know that Bibi wants to control it and control, you know, he wants to have the power grid in place when he takes over. That's my opinion. That's what I think is going on. Okay, here we go. Here's the real choke point is in the city of London. They are the ones who are telling the shipmasters whether they can go or whether they can't go through the Strait of Hormuz. Now, we talked about on the last video, if you haven't seen that one, definitely go and watch this most recent video where I talked about Trump's three chess moves, Iran, NATO, Israel. We've been talking about this for several days, you know, and what's really, really going on. So President Trump knows that the choke point is not in the Strait of Hormuz. The choke point is in the city of London because the shipmasters do as they are told. As I have read to you many times from Revelation 18, this is the end of it. I always really looked at Revelation 18 as symbolic, and I realize now, no, this is how they're shutting down. President Trump is shutting down the way they run commerce through the whole world and kept everyone under their thumbs, and that's over. So they're saying here the Strait of Hormuz is no longer closed. It's no longer open. It's something the world has never seen before, a permissioned corridor run by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, priced at $2 million per vessel payable in yuan. All right, very, very interesting. But the thing is, you know, it's not even run by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC. It's run by the City of London. And they've never, ever turned, even in World War II, they didn't say we're not going to insure any ships going through the Strait of Hormuz. They never have done that. Why are they doing it now? It's because they know this is an existential threat on them and their power and their rule. They know that the World War II, World War I, Korean War, Vietnam War, all these wars were their proxy wars. But this, my friends, is the war to end all wars. This is the end of their control over the world. This Antichrist, satanic criminal cabal running the world. This is the end of it. All right, but all these shipmasters are still following their rules. So So really the issue is with the city of London, this New World Order criminal cabal. And so everybody now sees who has run the world for all this time. So I have been watching this guy. I don't remember his name. He's with Promethean Action and sorry, I don't remember his name. Anyway, he's got he's the Promethean Science Channel person. And so he's talking about how President Trump is loosening the chokehold that they've had on the entire world, because President Trump is making sure that we have the credit in America and we are not beholden to the banks. He's got a really great way of saying it that, you know, in all these years we've thought, oh, well, you don't want to have the government running the credit. Well, that is actually not the case. You want to unleash the finances for your country and not be beholden to these bankers. They have it flipped. We really, at the Hamiltonian setup is that you do have government unleash the funds so that it is not, so that our country is free to produce and to grow. Just imagine if you're trying to open a business and you go to the bank and they say no. This is the same way it's been with all of our big companies wanting to have minerals and produce these minerals in our country and refine them in our country. They have not been able to do so because the banks always told them no. And so now what he's explaining and doing such a great job is that we now have a president who is unleashing the credit so that we can have our own infrastructure, our own products, refine them in America and not be beholden to China or anyone else, basically being beholden to the New World Order. Their game is over. That's a huge piece, and that I don't think they're talking about on the news at all, because then they'd have to expose the criminal cabal that has run the world. So check this out.
Everything you've been told about government debt is wrong. Alexander Hamilton understood something that most economists still seem to get wrong today. Public credit isn't borrowing against some pile of existing wealth. It's borrowing against the future productivity that the investment itself will generate. After the American Revolution, America was essentially bankrupt. War debt was trading at pennies on the dollar. Hamilton restructured that debt and used it to capitalize the first national bank. The bank didn't lend against the gold sitting in its vault. It lent against the increased productive output that the loans themselves would create. And it worked. Hamilton's system laid the foundation for the policies that transformed America into the greatest industrial power in history. That's the principle, and it's exactly what the Trump administration is beginning to apply now with the critical minerals crisis. We break down the full strategy, Hamilton's playbook, and how Trump is reviving it in our latest Promethean Action Science episode. Full video link below.
All right. I'm going to show you some clips of that. I'm going to show you. I'll make sure that you have the link so that you can go and watch that video. So the point is, they've told us, oh, you don't want to have government involved in this. And that is exactly opposite. Hamilton unleashed the financing and the credit for companies back in the day. And that made America what, you know, just go off the charts with our growth. And so President Trump knows that. He's using the Hamiltonian model, and he's making sure that these companies that are so critical to our growth and our future, like the critical minerals, that they have the credit that they need, and that we're not sitting there, you know, with our hat in hand to the bankers, the criminal cabal bankers, as to whether or not we can have the credit that we need to make this happen. I thought that was terrific. What do you guys think? I'm just so thankful to understand that. Thank you so much, Promethean Action. Ben is his name. Ben Denniston. All right. So he says that there are 450 financial institutions holding $130 trillion in assets. And they were the chokehold. That's the chokehold right there. They were preventing us from being able to grow in our country. And they have squashed us down for years. And they've sent all of this over to China because they were able to siphon all the wealth away because the people there live on slave wages. And so that's what has been happening. They bankrupted us, and then they sent over the credit to China because they knew that there were no rights for the people, so that the wealth would not go to the people predominantly. All right. So I thought this was a really great explanation. And so guess who has been one of the top bankers? You'd never imagine. Mark Carney, the Prime Minister of Canada. you know, he's maybe he's a better banker than he is a politician, but either way, he's been controlling these assets. And I'm going to show you how. One of the ways is through the Green New Scam that they said, oh, we won't release any of this credit to any of these companies if they are doing anything that is against our green policy. And what the green policy was really about was to prevent our country from growing. They, you know, of course, that they would let them do anything in the world in China. We know that they haven't followed any of these rules about, any of the green rules. But they would have this in America. And the idiotic energy, like the windmills that President Trump hates, they would have that in America because, oh, that follows along with our green new scam, because they knew that it was not something that would be beneficial to our country's growth. So that really is a big piece of the puzzle to help everyone understand what's been going on. All right. So this is so, so important. He's got so much great information, and I want to just take you through little by little. One of the first things I want you to see is it's the 744 mark. He talks about China having the predatory pricing. And J.D. Vance was talking about this too, that we are going to make sure that there are price controls. And you're like, oh, no, you don't want to have price controls. Well, if you have China in the market that is undercutting the price, then you have to make sure that the companies are not getting their products from China. I mean, just look at how basically ChinaMart, Walmart, has gobbled up the industry, gobbled up the retail market because they've had all these cheap Chinese products. And so this is exactly what we're up against with the infrastructure also and the manufacturing base in our country, and especially with the critical minerals and all of that. We cannot continue to have them controlling the price of these critical minerals. And so there's going to be a price, I think they call it a price, there's a special word for it. Anyway, a price cap. And so that is something that, you know, we've been taught the opposite. So we have to rethink everything we've ever learned about economics or heard about economics. And so President Trump, a wonderful genius president, knows exactly what to do and how to do it to make sure that these companies have a fighting chance. Just like the people who were competing with the China Mart were not able to compete because they're competing with slave wages, and that doesn't work, right? So anyway, check this out about the predatory pricing.
One British minister even admitted this publicly in 1815. It is well worthwhile to incur a loss upon the first exportation in order by a glut to stifle in the cradle those manufacturers in the United States which the war had forced into existence. And how do we defend against this weaponized dumping by the British Empire? Tariffs and public credit.
Okay, so what he means by, I was saying China, but really it's by the cabal. The New World Order cabal, City of London, you know, this whole criminal group. It's not really China. It's about the price control. Did you hear this? They would stifle any corporation in America because they would not be able to compete. And so that's what President Trump is making sure that they are able to compete and to win, especially in the cradle, in the infancy, as we're just trying to get these things started again. And it's just been, you know, it's been unfair because their thumb has been on the scale, or, you know, or the, if, what did they say, like in football games, you know, the refs have been on their side. And so we need to make sure that there's a level playing field. All right. So I wanted you to see that piece of it is really important. I really appreciate him bringing that up. And then here's the one at the 856 mark where it talks about, yeah, here is, who would have figured that he was their puppet leader as the Prime Minister of Canada, but I did not realize he was basically one of their top global bankers. And so he was, when he was talking about the Green New Scam, he was basically saying, we're going to prevent any company that is really going to help America to grow from getting credit. Check this out.
This is an excuse to create a global oil price crisis. Carney's 2015 directive was clear. Central banks and financial institutions should restrict credit to companies and industries that they deem to be harmful to the climate, whatever that means.
And what he means by that, whatever that means, is the climate is not the climate that you and I would think it is. It's the climate of the benefits to their cabal, to their club. That's the climate it's talking about. He's too nice to say it, but I'll say it. You know, I'm not trying to be politically correct on here. So, and he's doing a great job, but yeah, they don't really talk about the New World Order. They talk about London, which is the same thing. So that's a huge piece of it, that they were just stifling any business in America. No wonder we have, you know, our economy has tanked.
At the 2015 UN Climate Conference in Paris, Carney announced the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, which developed mandatory disclosure requirements that penalized companies seeking credit if they were in carbon-intensive industries. In 2017, Carney helped establish the Network for Greening the Financial System, a coalition of central banks that embedded climate criteria directly into banking supervision worldwide. And in 2021, Carney launched the Glasgow Finance Alliance for Net Zero. At its peak, this united over 450 financial institutions controlling more than $130 trillion in assets, all committed to aligning their lending and investment portfolios.
All of them committed to the same thing for the Green New Scam, which benefits the global cabal and benefits China, you know, because they put their thumb on the scale and help them. And so, yeah, I see what you're saying, H. Clay, yeah, Home Depot, Lowe's, whoever is part of their system gets the benefits, but everybody else is left out in the cold. So that's what President Trump is turning around. He's making sure that our corporations get the funding, the credit that they need, and they do not have to go to these bankers that are not working in the best interest of the American people. So that is great. That's the chokehold that he is breaking, and so that we are not going to, you know, be held down by them in this chokehold anymore. Okay, so the next thing is at the at this mark he was talking about. Okay, that's where he's talking about 450 institutions. So basically, the entire banking cartel. So you might say, oh, well, this is Bank of America. Oh, well, this is Deutsche Bank. They're two different. No, they're all the same. All these 450 institutions are all controlling the money. It all comes from the cabal, the cartel, the banking cartel, $130 trillion in assets. All right. So this is another thing he's talking about is that I'll wait till the end to tell you that, because he does. Yeah, here's his conclusion. And so I want you to hear what he has to say, and then we'll talk about it.
Address the critical minerals crisis. Affordable loans, price floors, equity stakes, and international coordination. These aren't radical departures from American tradition. They are a return to it. Look at the forces stacked up against domestic mineral development. China's deliberate predatory pricing strategy, and the City of London's effort to create a climate-driven chokehold on credit. The American system of public credit, from Hamilton to the RFC, proves that a sovereign nation can and must direct credit towards productive enterprise. The credit doesn't come from some pile of existing wealth. It's generated from the future productivity that the investments themselves create.
Did you hear that? I want to point that out. He's saying the benefit is not derived from the wealth itself. The benefit is from the future productivity. Okay, so imagine you're sitting here and, you know, think of like the Great Depression. Everyone's sitting on their hands, not so different from now. And so you're like, you know, if I could just have some credit, I could open a business. I could, you know, do some manufacturing. I could, you know, build these things. I could do this research. Just let your mind run wild. But we've all been squashed down, held down, and prevented from being able to do that. And so we've just squandered our time. And so he said it is a matter of the future productivity gains. You know, just imagine everybody being able to just be turned on and let them run and do their thing. And so that is what is so exciting about where we are. President Trump very well knows that we're smart and we're energetic. We want to do well. And if we can just get half a chance, then our country can take off. You know, we're not some, you know, a bunch of lazies who haven't been willing to try. You know, we have tried and tried and tried, but the deck's been stacked against us. All right. So I thought that was great. Thank you so much for that, Mr. Denniston. I thought that was great. What did you guys think? I thought that was terrific and a great way to understand this chokehold that President Trump has broken. Thank you, President Trump. Now, are you ready for me to tell you about the leader of Iran? Now, I've already told you, but I'm going to tell you again. Okay. So here's his name, Golubov. I have no idea how to say that. But anyway, it appears, the leader that is in the post-war strategy. And so, you know, a lot of people in Iran have not been happy with the former Shah's son. They've not been thinking that he was the one, especially because he did not even say a word about the children who were killed tragically. He didn't, you know, he went to Israel. They don't trust him. They don't believe that he is working in their best interest. So, you know, President Trump very well knows that too. And so the question was, who would be working in the best interest of the Iranian people? Well, President Trump has taken out all the ones that he knows are not. And so now you've got this man, Golubov, for the Iran leadership position. And that he is saying, and I'm going to try to read it because it's in Persian and I can't read. I know most of you can't understand Persian, but I'm going to try to read it in English. So it's not always easy to do that, but I'm going to try to. Anyway, so he in this video is talking about he wants lasting peace. And he is not, he doesn't say this, but he's not controlled by the Zionists. There you go. Because you know who's chomping at the bit to get control of Iran. All right. So somebody, one of you guys go tell the Shah's son, Pahlavi, we don't need his and Bibi's help. Reports say the Trump administration is evaluating Iran's parliament speaker, Mohammad Bagar Golubov, as a potential post-war partner, favoring an internal figure over exiled opposition leader, Reza Pahlavi. Officials are described as testing emerging figures and sidelining those seen as too radical, signaling a strategy focused on reshaping leadership within the existing system rather than full regime change, with the goal of securing stability and favorable outcomes. As you remember, President Trump had said that when they took out the entire regime in Iraq, it caused even more trouble, more damage. So I want you to hear what he has to say. I'm going to try to read it in English. Check this out. We know that we no longer accept this chain. This cycle must be broken. That means the threat must be removed from the Islamic Republic and the region. There should be no risk of war, and they should not do this. This is our clear and definitive demand. So, as I mentioned to you, there won't be a ceasefire just for them to start another war 5 months later. That's not happening. Again, I say we're not looking to continue the war. We're not saying we want to wage war. I don't know. We want to disrupt the region's security? Not at all. We want security to be established in the region so that they don't repeat this again. A lasting security. A security that is for the people. It should be within the countries of the region. It should be the region itself. It should be the people of the region. It should be the governments. It should be us for ourselves. No one else should come here to establish security for us. And then, since that's on there, sorry. Hang on, let me go back. Sometimes he goes fast. And then they have shown during this time since they came that this is the reality. This is clear. Okay, this is exactly what my dear friend has told me. My dear friend who's from Iran, she could not live there because of the terrible duress that everyone was under. And so she got out of there long, long ago. And so she wants it to be where the Iranian people lead their own country. And that is exactly what this man is saying. That it sounds like what he's saying. He is the one in negotiations with President Trump. I bet he's the one who sent this present, which I'm going to say is likely a tanker of oil. I don't know. Anyway, we'll have to wait and see. But the point is, this man would be the one leading the country from within, not having this envoy from the United States run the country, which would not work. And he agrees to that, and that's exactly what she has talked about before. Well, and you know, the issue is, President Trump does not think Pahlavi would be good. I don't. The people of Iran do not. And so I think that Bibi is realizing that's not going to happen. He's not going to get what he wanted. He was just salivating over, you know, getting the land of Iran because he was hoping to install Pahlavi and have him as his puppet, as they always have done. So it appears that this man is not a puppet. What do you guys think? I'm hoping so. I think that this is not the first time President Trump has known about this man, Mr. Golubov, whatever his name is. All right. Now, so back to, I love this passage, and I just want to read it again because this is so biblical. This is exactly what we are witnessing. This terrible city, and don't think of a physical city of dirt. Think of this city of the New World Order, and it's being brought down. This is the chapter in Revelation chapter 18 that talks about how Babylon is fallen. Look at this, how terrible for that great city, this great city that has run the world, this great city that is called the New World Order criminal cabal. She was clothed in the finest purple and scarlet linens, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. In a single moment, all the wealth of the city is gone. I love it. That's exactly, if you tell me, that's exactly what we are witnessing. I'm telling you right now, just as I have told you guys before, in Daniel chapter 12, it says, blessed are those who arrive at the 1335th day. That was Purim. And Purim was the day when, you know, when President Trump attacked all these terrible leaders in Iran, bringing down the not only just the Iranian regime, but the New World Order cabal. Blessed are those who get to witness this day. And I'm just very thankful that we have the eyes to see it. We understand what is going on. Very, very exciting to see. In a single moment, all the wealth of the city is gone. It says a moment. It's talking about this. Right now, we're in this period where the whole thing is coming crashing down around their ears. So exciting. All the captains of the merchant ships and their passengers and sailors and crews will stand at a distance. They'll cry out as they watch the smoke ascend. They will say, where is there another city as great as this? They will weep and throw dust on their heads to show their grief. They'll cry, how terrible for that great city. The ship owners became wealthy by transporting their great wealth on the seas. In a single moment, it is all gone. They have stolen and raided and absconded and done everything in the world to bankrupt America, to stifle every country in the world, to suppress people all over the world, oppress people all over the world. They have done everything in the world to do evil and to have it all for themselves. They don't need all this. They just don't want us to have it because they've made a literal deal with the devil. This is what I mean when I say that this is a satanic criminal cabal. And look at this. Rejoice over her fate, O heaven, and people of God and apostles and prophets. That's you and that's me. For at last, God has judged her for your sakes. Thank you, Lord, that you are delivering us from their hands, that you're removing their power over us. Their chokehold where they've had us like in that stranglehold is over. This chokehold is not, like I said, it's not in the Middle East. This chokehold has been this entire criminal cabal. This is biblical. You know, I'm so glad to have wonderful people like Promethean who studied all this for years and they connect the dots. I'm so thankful for 17 who told us about so many of these things. But most of all, I'm so thankful to know how this is biblical. This is what God promised, that we'd be rescued from these people, from their evil grip. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a huge millstone. He threw it into the ocean and shouted. Of course, you know about millstones, right? It'd be better than hurt these little ones. It'd be better than a millstone was hung around their neck and they were cast into the depths of the sea. For that passage, that's exactly what it's talking about right here in Revelation chapter 18. This huge millstone, and threw it into the sea, into the ocean, and shouted, just like this, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down with violence and will never be found again. And I love it. I love it. I love it. If you are not familiar with this Revelation 18 or any of the books, the chapters of Revelation, and you've been listening to the old way of hearing about it, go to check out my book, End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace. Right there, you will love it. It's the wonderful truth about it's the end times for them and a thousand years of peace for us. But here, continuing in Revelation 18, they'll be thrown down with violence and never be found again. The sound of harpers and singers and flutes and trumpets will never be heard in you again. All that rejoicing and laughing at us and bringing us to scorn, nope, that's over. No craftsmen, no trades will ever be found in you again. The sound of a mill will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The happy voice of brides and grooms will never be heard in you again. They will be brought to justice. They will not enjoy marriage and children and homes, building homes and parties. They will be behind bars and worse. There you go. All this rejoicing over us and where they have done all this evil to us and laughed at us is over. For your merchants were the greatest in the world, and you deceived the nations with your sorceries, with your trickery, with your evil banking schemes, and how you've used your evil banking schemes to harm America, to harm China, to harm every country in the entire world. All the suffering that all of humanity has dealt with because of their evil sorceries. In your streets flowed the blood of the prophets and of God's holy people. Isn't that the truth? All that we have done. Yes, death sentence, Marge Mosley. Thank you so much. Yes, exactly. These people will get what they deserve, as Habakkuk says. If you're not familiar with what I mean about Habakkuk, if you're not familiar with the minor prophets, because these minor prophets were telling us major clues, definitely go check into this passage, this book right here on Amazon. Check this one out called Major Clues from Minor Prophets. I have all the audiobooks on my website, and the Golden Age one will be on there soon. Soon. I'm like this close, you guys. And I'm trying so hard. I'll get it done. I will, in Jesus' name. Anyway, yeah, they will pay for what they have done. The minor prophets told us they will pay. They will get what they deserve. And there's no doubt about it. In your streets flowed the blood of the prophets and of God's holy people, and the blood of people slaughtered all over the world. Revelation 18. I didn't understand what this was about, but now we do. Now we do, because we know what they have done to us, not just in America, but all over the world. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing us from their grasp. All right. So a couple of other things I wanted to show you. Here are the videos. We just recently did this one, the three chess moves. Don't forget to watch this one, the Passover prep. This is on Rumble, Red Pill the World. And also it's on my YouTube channel, Melissa Red Pill 11. 11 is the awakening number, and how to celebrate Passover. I sent over on my social media today an invitation so that you guys can send out invitations if you're going to have invite others to your Passover celebration. And so go on this video and you can learn more about that. I forgot to tell you guys, and since I'm not able to add it back to this video, I'll just tell you right now that on there's something, one of the side dishes on that Seder plate is called, it's got a name and I'm not remembering the name, but anyway, it's a mixture of apples and nuts, and you can put dates to make it all kind of stick together. And it's reminiscent of the mortar that they used to build the bricks, to make the bricks to build the walls for the Egyptians. And so that's, if you saw that, you're like, what is that? That's what that is. And so on that, the link on this video, you'll see instructions about how to make it. It's very, very simple. And so it's really just something to help you to remember you could use anything. It's that one right there. All right. So now I'm going to show you a couple of other things that happened this week. I am very interested in this because it appears that President Trump implied, I'm just saying, allegedly, that President Trump implied that Joe Kent had something to do with his wife's passing. I had actually been thinking about that. I was like, I just don't want to think about that. I think so many things and I'm like, okay, I don't want to think of that. But especially since he got, all buddy-buddy with Mark Levin, who is horrible. Okay, so, what if he did have something to do with it? Because President Trump said that, he got married very quickly after his wife died. And so that makes you wonder, right? And so it makes you wonder because if he got a get-out-of-jail-free card by joining in with the cabal. I'm just saying all that's if. And President Trump is now saying he's not a fan of the guy. I want you to hear what he has to say. And tell me what you think, because it sounds like he is making that implication. What do you think?
Look, I'm not a fan of the guy. If you look at, and you never cover this, if you look at his truths or whatever he went on, if it's X or truth, if you look at his truths or his statements, he was all for everything. All of a sudden, he wasn't. He was a man that I met at Dover. He came and his wife was killed. He remarried.
Dover is where they do the respectful transfer, okay, of the dead to back to their families, right? That's what he means by Dover. And so he was there. That's where he met Joe Kent. And now he's going to say he married quickly. Check this out.
Fairly quickly. He remarried fairly quickly. His wife was killed, and I felt badly for him. He ran in for Congress. He lost. He ran for Congress again, and he lost. I said, you know, he's a guy, nice guy, seemed like a very nice guy. I met him. He was pretty heartbroken, pretty. But I said, you know.
Pretty heartbroken, pretty. Nice guy, seemed like a nice guy. You know how so many times he brings someone right out into the spotlight?
It's a shame. He ran for Congress twice. Call him up, give him a job in the White House. Smart. They gave him a job in the White House, and this is what he does to me, you know? Just being a nice guy doesn't pay off too much.
Okay, so I'm not going to play the rest of it. You've got, it's over on my Melissa Red Pill X account if you want to listen to the rest of it. And this is where President, you can just search about Joe Kent. I don't have that many posts about Joe Kent. I just think that was very interesting. I'm not a fan of the guy. He was a man that I met at Dover. He came when his wife was killed. He remarried fairly quickly. Fairly. His wife was killed, and I felt badly for him. I don't know. I know nothing about Joe Kent. I don't know anything. I just found that very interesting, the way President Trump said that. My little spidey senses went up, and my little antenna were like, whoop, what's going on? Yeah, it would not surprise me. And this is what people, what happens is when someone has done something evil, I'm not saying Joe Kent did. I'm just saying when someone does something evil, then if they could be used for the cabal, they are offered a get out of jail free card. And so they're now owned. That's the blackmail. Okay. You can either go to jail or you can be one of our minions. So there you go. There you go. All right. So, and of course, now he's coming out saying so much about, you know, against Trump. And so basically, if they tell you to jump, you just say how high, right? Once you're one of their minions. All right. So President Trump is saying here, made me laugh out loud when I listened to it. He's talking about that they need to stay in Washington, D.C. to get this whole thing resolved. And so, you know, don't go home for Easter. Make this one for Jesus. Check it out. He's just so funny. Check it out.
Homeland Security.
Okay, no, sorry. My volume is not working. Let me see if I can get some a little bit louder. I want to make sure you guys hear him. Check this out.
Voter identification with picture and proof of citizenship in order to vote. And those two items are the most important thing having to do with Homeland Security. So it should be part of the Homeland Security bill. And I'm requesting that the Republican senators do that immediately. You don't have to take a fast vote. Don't worry about Easter going home. In fact, make this one for Jesus, okay? Make this one for Jesus. That's what I tell them. That would be a damn good thing. The most important part of Homeland Security is voting.
I love that. I thought that was great. I thought that was so funny. He's hilarious. Do this one for Jesus. It'd be a bleep good thing. There's nobody like him in the entire world. He's one of a kind. So yeah, stay here. This Jesus would really appreciate it. rather than going for Easter, Jesus will understand if you don't make it for the Easter service. Stay here and get this thing passed. I love it. Love him, two absolute pieces. All right, so yeah, this was something that President Trump had said, and I don't remember if I talked about it on the most recent video, but I will talk about it now. Might be talking about it again. Okay, Mueller died, and President Trump said, Robert Mueller just died. Good. I'm glad he's dead. He can no longer hurt innocent people. President Donald J. Trump. Oh, my goodness. Now, some people were likening it to Charlie Kirk, that some people were rejoicing because Charlie Kirk was dead. Well, the difference is that this man was in a position of power as the director of the FBI, and he caused so much grief and treated people so unfairly. It's not just what he did to President Trump. It's people all over the country that he did evil to, and he harmed our government. This is the problem with him. We saw what he did to President Trump. We saw what he did to someone who had tons of money to defend himself. But there are many people, I'm sure, rotting in jail right now who are there because of Robert Mueller and his witch hunt that he had against them. And so President Trump said, good, I'm glad he's dead. He can no longer hurt innocent people. President Trump is not mad because of what happened to himself. I'm sure he is about that. But he's also mostly angry about how he has hurt innocent people who did not have the millions of dollars with which to defend themselves. So this is the thing. As I'm going to take you right back right now. I'm going to take you right back to Revelation 18. It says here, rejoice over her fate. Rejoice over Mueller's fate. Rejoice over, you fill in the blank of any of these people, the Faucis, the Schumers, the Comeys, the Gates, the, you know, just you fill out whatever name, the Rothschilds, all these people, rejoice over their fate. Rejoice over their fate. For at last God has judged her for your sakes. These people made a deal with the devil. They deserve what they are going to get. As I was telling you from Habakkuk, now you will get what you deserve. This is where we have to really be tough. We have to really be strong and say, praise the Lord. Rejoice. Rejoice. Everyone in heaven, everyone on earth who has suffered under their cruel hand, rejoice over over their fate, that they are having judgment fall on them. God has judged her for your sakes. This is probably not what you've heard in church. You will never hear this in church. You will hear this from Melissa Redpill. Rejoice over their fate. I am sorry to say the church is weak-kneed, lily-livered. They do not believe in the judgment of God. I'm sorry. I'm getting a little too excited, but you never hear it. If they do believe in the judgment of God, they never speak it. They never have this kind of fire in their soul to bring judgment down on the wicked, those who've hurt children. Just like this, that passage I was reading to you from Revelation 18, what did they carry along all throughout the seas? You read it for yourself. I've got it all in the book. They took humans, human bodies. These people deserve what they're going to get, and I rejoice, and I know you do too. If you rejoice, give me an amen. Give me a thumbs up on this video. Give me a, yes, Lord, bring down judgment on the evildoers. As I just told you guys, on this video that we that explains about the Passover prep, the fourth cup of a drink of wine is where we drink to the Lord pouring out his fury on the wicked. That's what we do on the fourth drink of wine in the Passover celebration. Thank you, Lord, that you're pouring out your fury. April 1st celebrates April Fools, which was the day we celebrate that the Egyptians were covered over with the Red Sea. And they rejoiced, and they rejoiced, and they rejoiced some more. We're going to rejoice forever and ever and ever because these evildoers will be gone and we can get some peace around here. Yay! Give me some amen to that. All right, so yeah, this is, I talk all about what's going to happen in the Golden Age in the book called The Golden Age of All Things. So exciting. I love listening to me read the book because it's just so good. You know, sometimes you have to encourage yourself. But yes, rejoice over his fate. Rejoice over his fate. I'm glad. I'm glad he's gone so he can no longer hurt anyone else. Yes, and here, I mentioned this the other day, I'm going to say it again. I think that possibly this could be that 7,000 could drop dead, as it says in Revelation 11:13. In that same hour, there was a great earthquake and a tenth of the city fell. Wouldn't that be great if it was on Passover, on April Fool's? I'm up for it. Anybody else up for it? I'm not kidding. I am over it. I'm tired of these people hurting people. I'm tired of it. I'm over it. I've been over it for a long, long time. I'm ready for these people to get what they deserve. In the hour, in the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. They made their deal with the devil. They made the deal with the devil, and there's been plenty of time to repent. And if they refuse to repent, they get what they deserve. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yes, thank you for the amen. I agree with you. All right. I think that's it. That's everything I had to share with you. So I will make sure that you have the link I'm going to be on the chat for just a little bit. I'll make sure that you have the link to that video I was showing you, so you understand really the chokehold that President Trump is releasing, so that we have this beautiful days of where we have the chance to survive and not be held down by these creeps. Let's thank him. Thank you so much, Lord. We praise you that you are the king of the world, that nothing can stop what is coming, because you are the ruler. And for your own reasons, this has taken a long, long, long time. It had to be that way. We had to be ready to stand up, to rise up, to awaken, and to take back our country. There are so many people who are still asleep, but you've called on us to do this in this day. Thank you, Lord, that you've revealed it to us, the truth. You've given us the courage to share this truth. And Lord, not only do we have the truth and understand what's really going on with all these things happening in the world, but we also see how it's your hand, how this is biblical. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you that you are rescuing us even now, and that you have awakened us. I pray also for everyone on the battalion. I pray you continue to bless them and strengthen them, guide every step, everything that they are sharing. I just pray that you will use us all together on the Freedom Force Battalion, wherever we are, on YouTube or Rumble or whatever, X or wherever we are, so that we can get the truth out so people can understand what's going on, because there's still so much deception. We cannot wait for the day when you say there'll be no more deception for 1,000 years. We cannot wait. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. All right, guys, I love you. I'm so glad that we were here today together. Let me just show you super quick before we go. Just in case you haven't checked this out, definitely go to my health page, because this is so important that you make sure that you are detoxing, that you are using the products that help your probiotics, that you help your stomach and your body to have the good bacteria overwhelm the bad bacteria. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a video on here that explains it. If you're having tummy trouble, it's probably because you don't have good probiotics that make it into your digestive system, into your colon. So yeah, definitely check that. Definitely use the silver every day. I love this stuff. This is really an antibiotic, but it doesn't have the negative effects. It doesn't kill off the good bacteria. It only gets rid of the bad bacteria. Anti-mold, antibacteria, anti-fungus. Definitely check into these natural remedies. The chlorine dioxide, the detox, the anti-aging. I probably shouldn't have said that word. This is over on YouTube. Oh, no. Okay, pray that I won't keep my mouth shut. Anyway, all right, guys, I got to go. But I definitely check into that freedomforce.live/health, H-E-A-L-T-H, and I'll be on the chat for just a little bit, and I will talk to you later.
He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title: King of Kings and Lord of Lords.